You're listening to Leafs Lunch with Julia Tucheri and Michael DeStefano on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
This is Alex Tuck. Far side. Thompson scores! Tage Thompson with a 5-goal night. Can you believe it?
Welcome to Leafs Lunch on this fine Thursday, December 8th, when the Leafs are hosting the LA Kings tonight at Scotiabank Arena. You can watch that game on TSN 4, listen to it here on TSN 1050. And you just heard Tage Thompson. Yeah, you're right. He did say 5th goal. 5 goals! 4 in the first period. What a ridiculous night for Tage Thompson.
Look, something special has to occur in the National Hockey League for us to lead off Leafs Lunch with non-Leafs content.
I thought you were just going to go with Buffalo, Columbus.
Well, or that. Two very small markets, Buffalo, Columbus.
It was exactly like that game over the weekend when it was the Canucks, and I looked at the score, and I was like, what is going on? Why is it 9-8 right now?
Oh, no,
it was
Seattle and L.A.
Sorry,
we got tonight.
I was thinking of the way the Canucks have gone to overtime the past couple times. That's a whole other story. But I looked at the score and kept saying, T. Thompson.
Dude, this guy was, like, there's those moments where hockey Twitter takes over, and it just forces you to turn on a game.
Yeah.
And that was one of them last night. Now, that 9-8 game that you just spoke of between Seattle and the Kings, what the Canucks have been doing over the last couple of days, their late comeback wins and then taking it into overtime. And then last night, you had Tage Thompson. 4 goals in the first period of play. He had like 5.5 minutes of ice time, and he scored 4 goals on 7 shots in the first period. Talk about efficiency.
I know. And he looks so dominant out there. The physical look of him, the power behind his shot. Everyone was kind of clowning that contract this summer. And there's it was just that he hadn't, there was not much of a sample size there.
That's exactly what it was, right? It's just because he had one good year.
Yeah.
Like, this is what's so amazing to me about Tage Thompson. He went from being borderline bust territory, right? First round pick. He was included in that Ryan O'Reilly deal, and he hadn't really gotten his legs underneath him in Buffalo. It hadn't gone well. Like, he had, 8 goals the year before last, and it was like, ugh, maybe this guy isn't going to turn out to be, you know, a bona fide player. Lo and behold, they decided to move this guy into the center of the ice last year, and he's turned into a star. Like, legitimately a star in the National Hockey League. He had 38 goals last year. He's got 21 goals now this year, on pace to surpass that career high and be a 40 to 50 goal scorer. And what I find to be so amazing about this kid is how he's scoring his goals. Because you go look at that four-pack that he scored in the first period, they're all in different ways. You know, the first goal was a little nice little backhander that he was able to get by the goaltender, just kind of lifted over the guy's pad and glove. And then the other one was a nice little wrist shot that he was able to get coming in. And then he had a one-timer from the dot, and then a one-timer off the knee. Like, this guy's scoring in so many different ways. The left side of the ice, the right side of the ice. It's just this outstanding hockey that this dude's playing.
Yeah, it was an exciting night in general in the NHL last night, wasn't it? Connor McDavid with a 4-point performance hits the half-century mark in points. It's ridiculous.
He's on pace. I think I looked it up last night. On pace for 158 points this year.
So, you guess that was your bold take at the beginning of the season, wasn't it? Just to pump your tires.
150 points was like my hot
That and the Florida Panthers, right?
And the Florida Panthers are going to miss the playoffs.
And they both
so far,
decent.
Both are on pace to happen.
Not bad, Captain.
Not to pump my tires, not to pat myself on the back. Still a long ways to go. But, last night was hilarious. And then you mentioned the Vancouver game, which, you know, I tuned into late. And, again, this is the second time in a row where I've been able to capitalize on the Vancouver Canucks. And thank you, FanDuel, for allowing me to make some wagers. Because the second they got that power play, and for those who didn't watch the game, they were down in the game late. They got a power play. Very reminiscent to what happened to them the other night in Montreal. They score on the power play, take it to overtime. I hammered the Canucks money line in OT. Sure enough, for a second straight game, they also win there. So thank you to FanDuel for allowing me to make a little bit of cash off that one.
Yeah.
But it's just been a wild night in the National Hockey League. Something else happened too. Oh, Ovi got to within 99 goals of 99.
Yeah, with a couple so of impressive. He just keeps climbing that ladder, and I don't know if there's anybody that doubts now that he's going to hang around until he gets that record.
It's not even that he's going to hang around. Like, the guy's
going to be
36?
There. Yep.
Like, there's no reason for him. Like, he might still be playing at a high level when he's there. Not just, you know, come back, score 15, 20 for a couple of years just to get there. This guy's going to surpass this in the next... I mean, I guess this could happen by, like, 2-3 years from now.
Yeah.
Is when break this record. And I was having this conversation kind of jokingly the other day. Like, what happens first? Do we have a new all-time goal scorer? Or are we going to have international best-on-best hockey? Like, what's going to happen first?
Oh, I didn't know where you were going with that. I was thinking you were going with, like, a Canadian team winning the cup or something.
I guess you could toss that in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we can throw that in the ring in terms of things that have not happened. Yeah, the international hockey thing is, especially around the World Juniors when everybody's getting all ramped up.
Yeah.
And those rosters are starting to come out. And it's so fun with the junior teams. We have not gotten to experience it for a minute with the... with the men's international teams.
No.
Tragic. Leafs Kings tonight. You can hear that on TSN 1050 and watch it on TSN 4. The updates before we bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Craig Button. Samsonov gets the start. That was confirmed before Matt Murray's magical performance earlier this week. TJ Brody, AB, returns to the lineup. Exciting stuff. He's going to be alongside Connor Timmins, and Semyon Durgachinsev was sent down to the Marlies this morning. And with that, let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Craig Button. Mr. Button, how you holding up right now? Where are you in the world?
I'm in Calgary. I'm holding up just fine. I feel good. My voice is just a little bit raspy.
Can't tell at all.
No,
Craig.
You
can't
sound good.
Can't tell at all, pal. You're gutting it through. It's all good. Craig, before we brought you on, we were talking about Tage Thompson, what that kid did last night. 5 goals, 4 of which coming in the first period. Like, how do you explain the progression of a guy like Tage Thompson? Like, I don't think I've seen a player go from probable draft bust status to superstar as quick as he has.
You know, he was a first-round draft pick. And, you know, Donnie Granato had him at the National Team Development Program. And he always, and Tage didn't play a lot. He was a 12th, 13th forward there. But Donnie always said, keep an eye on this kid. He works hard. He's a player with a lot of skill. And Donnie said he was raw. It's ironic that Donnie's the coach now in Buffalo with Tage Thompson. And Donnie always believed in him long before Tage had even shown that he was capable of performing at this level, or at any level for that matter. But, you know, he's young, and when you look at a player and you know that a player is going to really put in the work to get the best out of himself, that's what Tage Thompson has done, and it's been brilliant.
Yeah, sometimes the old eye test is a beautiful thing, and it sounds like Don Granato knew exactly what he had in Tage Thompson, and that has paid off big time, and last night was a great example of that. That's our TSN hockey analyst, Craig Button, on the phone, who's gutting through a sore throat night right now, like the absolute hero he is. And the Leafs have the Kings tonight at Scotiabank Arena. Craig, TJ Brody draws back into the lineup, and AB pointed out to me this morning that the Leafs did not lose in regulation the entirety of the time that TJ Brody is out. I know we've talked at length about this, but just how impressive is that to you, knowing how important TJ Brody is?
Well, I think it speaks to the success that the Leafs had during the absence of TJ Brody. And a couple of things. Number one, he can get fully healthy when the team is performing well, and you don't have to rush him back. Number two, you know, he comes back into the lineup not having to be somebody that has to fix everything. He just comes in and plays now. And TJ Brody playing and playing well is a solid addition. I heard you saying that he's going to play with Connor Timmins. TJ Brody, to me, makes everybody he plays with better. So for Connor Timmins, that's a real benefit for him and, by extension, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing also, just kind of ease him in coming off that injury. And why would you mess with a good thing with those guys, Gio and Hall, and then also the Liljegren and Sandin pairing? The way that they've played just makes sense to keep them together and then allow Brody to kind of just slowly get back up to speed.
Do his thing, right? Like, I mean, and again, AB, you know, if a team is struggling, they'll get back in there. Maybe he comes back a couple of games sooner. but the team wasn't struggling. And now, because of the solid play of the two pairs you just mentioned, now TJ can find his way back in the lineup. I mean, TJ will be, able to contribute in a real positive way, but you don't have to force him in to the spots before he's ready to kind of, dip his toe in, get up to his knees, get waist deep, and then dive right in. I think that'll be really good for TJ Brody, knowing that those guys in front of him or alongside him are playing so well.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, we're chatting with Craig Butner, TSN hockey analyst. I want to get your thoughts on something, Craig. It was something that Julie and I were kind of talking about yesterday. And, you being an esteemed hockey man for so long, I'm sure you've seen teams go through, evolutions of maturity, which was a buzzword.
We clowned on it a bit, we'll admit.
A little bit. That John Tavares talked about at the beginning of the year, saying how this team has evolved and the maturation process was kind of changing from last year to this year. And I'm curious if you think that the defensive buy-in from this group over the course of this 12-game stretch that you've seen here from the Maple Leafs, if that speaks to that evolution of maturity that Tavares talked about at the beginning of the season.
Well, the first thing, I wasn't sure I was going to be around to answer your question, because after you said the esteemed Craig Button, I was going to just exit stage left.
That was enough for me. That's it.
There was nothing
I'm
more
here.
For me to do. Yeah, I'm out of here. Done. Finished. But thank you for that, AB. I appreciate that. Every team has to not just understand or want to get better. They have to demonstrate it. And you've heard me say this, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, because right now the only thing broken on me is my throat and my voice. But I wanted to see the Leafs show me. Don't tell me. Show me. And the Leafs have shown me very clearly that they have focused in on areas that I think will benefit them come playoff time. Very clearly have shown me that. So when John Tavares talks about that and says, hey, listen, this is part of our growth, this is part of our development, and he feels that that's what they have to do, they've shown it. And it hasn't been for a week. It hasn't been for a handful of games. It's been for a good long stretch where they were missing significant players. And I think that speaks volumes. Actions speak volumes in this regard.
Absolutely. And the other thing that would be really great to have come playoff time is goaltending performances like the one Matt Murray put on the other night in Dallas. It is Samsonov that gets the net tonight, though, Craig. And I don't know, we were kind of chatting about this. Sheldon Keefe had already told us that it was going to be Samsonov tonight before Matt Murray had that performance in Dallas. Is this the way you kind of saw the Leafs goaltending position split work out, with these two kind of going back and forth the way it was intended, even with Matt Murray having that crazy performance? Is the priority really just to keep him healthy?
Well, I think the priority is, number one, keep him healthy. Number two, I think it's a tandem. I don't think there's a clear number one here. I don't. And I think that Matt Murray operates way better in a tandem. And I think that we've seen real clear evidence of that in his past. And I think we're seeing real clear evidence of it now. Samsonov, is a 25-year-old goaltender that's really, that age, whatever that date, 24 to 26, goaltenders coming into their own. But, to me, this is what the Leafs have. And it's not about having a guy play a great game and then automatically he gets the next game. About saying, here's our goaltending situation, and in the absence of a clear number one, this is what the Leafs have. So, to me, great. Matt Murray played excellent against Dallas in the shutout. Awesome. Ilya, get in there, give us that goaltending. Give us a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, it gives them a chance to push each other at the end of the day. And,
yep.
And I guess it'll keep them both honest to try and strive to be, try and win the net, I guess, and get as much as of the net as possible. We're chatting with Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst. Let's go out west a little bit. So I was watching that Canucks game last night. I watched the third period also in the game against Montreal. So I've been watching this team. First of all, very highly entertaining games. I'll say
that's
that.
True.
Like, it's high event hockey on both ends of the ice. And the defense is questionable, but that offense, man, they can put pucks in the back of the net. It's been goals galore when you're watching Vancouver Canucks games. And somehow, Craig, just 2 points out of a playoff spot, But, like, when you watch this team on the ice, like, to you, is this a team that should be gunning for a playoff spot? Like, how do you think things unfold there? There's so much uncertainty, some off-ice stuff that's been going on. Like, how do you see things shaking out in Vancouver?
Well, I mean, I think they put themselves back into the playoff conversation, and largely due in part to other teams fighting for those wild card spots that have, you know, been kind of pedestrian. That includes Calgary, that includes Edmonton, Minnesota, St. Louis. So, you know, give Vancouver credit for being able to do that. At the beginning of the season, Mike Johnson and I did one big question, and it was about each Canadian team and what was facing them. The Vancouver Canucks defense is not very good. In fact, it's mediocre. So our term was they should be doing the run, gun, and fun. And that's what they're doing. Yeah. That's how you're going to have success. If they think they're going to be able to play and win in low-scoring games, they're completely wrong. Like, bottom line is, you know, you got Demko out, and he hadn't been playing well. You know, they got to pull, like, you know, last night Spencer Martin was the key to that win, as well as the offense, because San Jose really carried, you know, the dangerous scoring chances score sheet. So when you look at the way the Vancouver Canucks are constructed, to me, they're playing exactly how they have to play to have success. That's what you got to do. 7-5, 6-5, whatever it takes to win, that's what they got to do. Playing defense is never going ever going to admit success for the Vancouver Canucks. And the only time they'll be able to play defense is when they get two or three better defensemen.
Yeah, they don't ask how, they ask how many. And they're pulling off wins right now. They ain't pretty, but they're making it happen right now. Craig, it would be illegal if we had you on and didn't ask about World Juniors before we let you go. Team Canada got a couple boosts yesterday. Shane Wright is headed to camp, Brant Clark and Dylan Gunther. How much of a boost does that provide Team Canada heading into camp?
Well, obviously, when you get talented players like the trio you just mentioned, that just makes a very talented group that much stronger. You know, with two forwards coming and Shane Wright and Dylan Gunther, that means two very talented forwards are not going to be able to make this team. And I think it speaks to the depth of this age group for the junior team that is pretty significant. I will say this, without Gunther, Clark, and Shane Wright, this team was like the decided favorite to win the gold at the tournament. With those three guys, I don't know how you increase it to even better to decide a favorite, because the depth of talent, the quality of player available for this year's World Junior team is tremendous. It's tremendous. And certainly when you can add in, you know, those players, it only solidifies and strengthens their opportunity to repeat as World Junior gold medals.
Well, we'll leave it there, Craig. We'll let you go and rest up that voice there, pal. Get some tea with honey in you, potentially, and hopefully you can get that voice back up and running as soon as possible. But we appreciate you gutting through it, Craig, and we'll chat again next week.
Thank you very much.
All right. There he goes. Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst.
What a gem for gutting through that. You can tell it was loosening up a little towards the end.
Sometimes
you got to use it a bit.
A little bit.
I can't wait to go out east with Craig. The best thing about traveling with Craig is he knows the best restaurant in every city in Canada. I feel so
like all the junior markets, because this guy's been in
every barn in the country he's been to, and he knows the best arena food. He knows the best bar in the area with the most hole in the wall look, but the best food. So one of his great qualities.
Well, you guys got to find, so the World Junior is going to be out in Halifax, and I was telling you this earlier today, got to find the best spot for a donair.
Oh, yes.
Got to find it. Do you know which bubble you're going to be in? Well, bubble.
Yeah. Like, isn't it weird? I said the exact same thing the other day, because I was like, I was in the Red Deer bubble last time. I'm in Halifax this time.
Okay, so it'll be right there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So yeah. I'm with Canada this time. I was in with the U.S. last year.
That's a good team. Like, they're going to...
Sick.
I mean...
And the USA's opted for a really different roster. Canada's gone... Like, they just have a lot of high skills.
There's a lot of returning guys, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're a bit of an older team this year, right? I don't recall last time we've seen so many, like, NHL teams release their guys.
Dylan Gunther, I was surprised about.
I don't even know what's he doing in Arizona. Like
he's
I'll
got,
be complete,
he's
like,
played
I've been
every game.
What he's been doing.
He's doing better than
is he
most
getting minutes
guys. He's got 11 points in 21 games.
Oh wow!
Which has to be better than most of the guys on the Coyotes. Doesn't
oh, absolutely.
It? Yeah, 11 points in 21 games, 3 goals, 8 assists.
That is a bit of a surprise.
I was surprised by that. Look at his hair in this photo.
Wyatt Johnston. Yeah, that guy's got some.
He's got upwards flow.
Big ol' head of lettuce up there. Wyatt Johnston didn't get let go, though.
Yeah, well, you can let go of him. Jamie Benn loves that kid, apparently. I was listening to MJ talk about
him. He's a good player,
yesterday,
man.
And he specifically requested him on his line. Yeah.
He's a good player. But Shane Wright, though, I think this is best for Shane Wright and his development path. Like, we talked about him so much earlier in the year. The guy wasn't playing. He was getting scratched for multiple games at a time. Went to that conditioning stint in the American League. Maybe that helped build up his confidence.
Tore it up, man.
Then he came back. First game, little revenge game against Montreal Canadiens. It all worked out so perfect that way.
Yeah.
And ended up scoring a goal. And then they're like, congratulations, bud. You got your first goal. Now get out to Moncton. Go win yourself a gold medal at the World Juniors.
He's going to tear it up. He's going to wear a C. Like, I'm really happy for him.
He was a little disappointing last year, though. Like, if I recall, I remember, because it was draft year. So there was a lot of eyes on Shane Wright at the Juniors before it got canceled, I guess. And I remember being a little underwhelmed with it.
Well, how many games did they get? It was because Bedard was tearing it up.
Bedard and Owen Power.
And Owen Power were tearing it up, so they kind of just stole the spotlight from, I don't know. Like, Shane Wright isn't going to dazzle you with, like, ridiculous flash and stuff.
The problem is, I think with Shane Wright, and, you know, this happens every year. Like, I feel like because he was a guy who got status, right?
Yeah.
He was an exceptional status player.
Yeah.
So he was somebody who a lot of people for many, many years expected to be that superstar.
Right.
Right? Like the John Tavareses, the Connor McDavids. Like, these guys have turned out to be stars.
Yeah. Those are such
and
different guys.
And you just
guys.
Haven't seen that yet out of Shane Wright.
Yeah. I see Shane Wright as... I think John Tavares is a good comparable. And, like, we spent a long time being critical of John Tavares. But I could see Shane Wright being consistent, everyday NHL centerman, two-way, steady Eddie, quiet, leads by example, salt of the earth type of guy. Like, you know, John Tavares, Patrice Bergeron are kind of Shane Wright blueprints for me.
I saw a wild stat about John Tavares the other day.
What is it?
He is closing in on the top 100 all-time goal-scoring list.
That's so weird.
He's got like 404 goals, I think 403 or 404, tied with Kessel. He's only like 4 or 5 goals away from cracking the top 100.
Yeah, being tied with Kessel is weird too, because everyone's like, "Oh, Phil Kessel, like goal scorer extraordinaire." And I don't know if people think of John Tavares.
Tavares is—I mean, that guy scored a lot of goals. Yeah. In his career. He's just been consistent.
I just mean people don't think of him that way. If you think who's a goal scorer, it's weird to me somehow, just the way both those players are perceived. That John Tavares and Phil Kessel have the same amount.
Yeah, I think that speaks to just how great of a player Tavares actually is.
Rounded,
like just a well-rounded player. Because we often just talk about like his prowess as, you know, just being a kind of a two-way guy.
Yeah.
But the guy can put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, what did he score? 47 with Toronto his first season?
Yes. And feel like that gets lost in the sauce sometimes. Lost in the sauce to me too. Like every time I see that 47, he was sniffing 50 that year. And
yeah.
And
I mean, I think this season he could top 40 again if he keeps playing at the same rate he is and playing on a line with Mitch Marner. Like, the way that power play is cooking right now, he certainly could do that. I mean, he has, 13 goals so far through 27 games. So, I mean, he could certainly get there. Like, the guy's... he's just been super consistent. Super consistent when it comes to scoring.
A
like
model
his entire
of consistency.
Career. Around 30-ish goals each and every year. He's got 404 in his career, closing in on top 100 all-time. It's crazy. I think he's a little bit of an underrated player at this point. John Tavares.
Especially on the Leafs.
He's become an underrated player in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, especially on the Leafs.
Somehow making $11 million.
You had to add that in.
He's the captain. He's making 11 sheets, but somehow I think still gets overlooked at how good of a player he actually is. Maybe that's the better way to say that. He gets overlooked, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On the other side, we're going to catch up with... Olympic gold medalist Erin Ambrose, and she was a longtime teammate of Marie-Philippe Poulin, who ended up winning the Northern Star Award last night as the top Canadian Athlete of the Year. So we'll catch up with her. And we got the All-Star game coming up this weekend. You're going to be down there, too. So we could probably catch up with her about that.
Rivalry series starts up again in about a week.
Yeah.
Lots to chat about with Aaron.
Yeah, lots of big storylines in the game in women's hockey. We'll catch up with David Alter also in the 1 o'clock hour. Lots of news coming out of Leafland at practice. So we get the latest from him. I'm Mike DiStefano with Julia Teixeira. You listen to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Matthews has done it again!
Now, back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Lease Busters will get you out of your car lease today. It's as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit leasebusters.com. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch. Julia Teixeira and Mike DiStefano with ya. Marie-Philippe Poulin, AB, was named the North Star, or was honored with the North Star Award as Canada's top athlete of the year. We had her on Overdrive yesterday. I heard the guys talking to her. I think they were let in beforehand, but famously, Marie-Philippe Poulin does not like to talk about herself.
Yeah.
She's classic Captain Canada.
Very humble.
Always going to deflect back to her teammates. So I thought it'd be perfect to have the ultimate teammate, the girl that speaks so well about all of her teammates, on today. And it's a bonus that she's also a PWHPA All-Star this weekend, Erin Ambrose. Erin, how's it going?
It's going well. Just en route to Ottawa right now with fantastic teammates Renata and Sarah Nurse. So I'm in good company with my friends here.
Okay, I love it. The squad is rolling out to Gatineau for the games that start tomorrow. PWHPA All-Star kicks off with a couple of regular season PWHPA games. But we'll start on Marie-Philippe Poulin, Erin. It's such an incredible honor, and it's crazy to me that she's the first female hockey player to ever win the award. To you, you get to just watch her work up close every day. What's the most impressive thing about her day-to-day work for you?
I don't even know where to start. I think with Poo, it is just her everyday accountability and detail into what she does. And I think one of the best things about her is she wants her teammates to get better every day as well. So I think when Poo goes in to get better, whether it's at the gym, whether it's on the ice, she's not only doing it for herself, but she's doing it with everybody around her as well. And she is the true leader of our team. And I think when you talk about Captain Canada, that is what she is. So I know that Poo doesn't want to talk about herself a lot, but it's very easy for us as teammates to do it for her because there's so many good things to say about her.
And the pressure that comes in gold medal games never seems to really weigh on her. She seems so calm, cool, collected, goes out there
clutch.
And just seems to end the game and score the goal, the clutch goal. You know, Captain Clutch is the moniker she's been given. But when you're her teammate, like when you look at the group, when you get ready to play in those games, whether it's the World Championships or the Olympic Games, the gold medal game, like how does she settle the rest of the group with her poise in the locker room in those pressure moments?
I think it's just her presence, to be honest. When you look at what she's done in her past, it all speaks for itself. And Renata, Sarah, and I were actually talking about that gold medal game in Beijing. And it's just no moment is too big for her. And I think that that's something that when we have that in the room, when we know that we have somebody like Poo, whether it's the gold medal game or it's a game in Pittsburgh, it was the PWHPA after the Olympics, like, she comes up clutch. She scores the OT winner in Pittsburgh. She scores a big goal in Beijing. And she always has the ability to settle us down when we kind of have the highs, but also bring us up when we need it, most.
Well, in saying all this, you got to play against her tomorrow. Sonnet versus Harvey's. So do you have any insider info on how to shut down MPP?
Oh, thank you for the reminder. No, there is no inside information. She is the best at, honestly, everything in the game. She wins face-offs, she plays defensively, she blocks shots, and then she creates so much offensively with her creativeness. I think the way that she makes people around her better. And it's no slouch of a line either when you got Jessie Eldridge and Emily Clark on the wing. So their first line is heavy. They've got depth. They've got great D. They've got great goalies. So Team Sonnet is ready to go, and we know that starts with shutting down Marie-Philippe Poulin.
Love it. It's Aaron Ambrose on the phone right now. It's PWHPA All-Star Weekend, so things will get shuffled up a little bit on Sunday. How's your three-on-three skills, Aaron? Looking forward to those little 10-minute games?
Haven't played three-on-three in a little while, to say the least. Good thing is I got Joss on the Rock, who, as most of us know, assisted on the game winner in the 2021 World Championship. So I'm just going to follow Joss's lead and get the puck to the forwards as quick as I can. Nice thing is, too, we've got Lacasse in net, which she loves to play the puck, which always helps in three-on-three. And probably going to keep an eye out for number 29 when we're playing against Team Glenn. But other than that, Team Nurse doesn't scare me too much. So I think that we got to win against them for sure.
When it comes to, like, for me, watching the skills competition has always been one of my favorites about All-Star Weekend. I mean, what are you looking forward to most about the skills comp? It's whether if it's something that a player you're looking forward to watching in an event, or if there's any surprises that you know about that you could fill us in on, kind of like we saw last year with Zegras at the All-Star game. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Without a doubt, my number one is I've got a dinner on the line against Abby Rock. She's taking Kendall Coyne Schofield in the fastest skater, and Ooh. I am without a doubt defending Renata Fast and taking her. So Renata Fast is going to beat Kendall Coyne Schofield in the fastest skater. yes, I'm saying that because I'm in the car with her, but I also did make the bet before. So I'm excited for that. As fast as Kendall is, I just think that Renata's power and her skating ability is something that honestly unnoticed sometimes because it looks so effortless for her. So I think for that, it's going to surprise a lot of people. The whole race is, like, the whole lineup of fastest skaters is really fast. And as a defenseman, I know that all too well. And then the other one is going to be the skills relay race. Ella Shelton, I think, is an underdog. If there's some betting odds, I think Ella Shelton's the underdog for sure. And she'd be worth putting some money on.
Is this a common practice, common transaction, where there's, like, bets placed between the girls out there on the ice every year?
Well, this is the first All-Star game I've been a part of, but I think for Abby Rock and I, it's common practice to put in some bets, so I think that that's a pretty easy one for both of us to defend our national teammates, and something I'm looking forward to on Sunday.
That is amazing. It's Aaron Ambrose on the phone, and while we're talking about bets with Abby Rock, the rivalry series gets back in action. Listeners can watch that on TSN. Starts on December 15th. Aaron, Vegas, LA. Like, I know you've been to Europe and lots of great places to play hockey, but that's a pretty elite hockey trip you got there.
Yeah, I think that rivalry series is going to be a big one. I think LA and Vegas are going to be great stops for them to head to, and I think that it's going to be a great matchup in the sense of coming off of our last one in November, obviously a lot of things that we're looking to improve on, and I think that the youth that they've injected in the lineup is going to be really good to see some new faces, also some faces from centralization, and Julia Gosling, who's been doing great at St. Lawrence, and I think we're going to be ready to go for sure.
Yeah, you guys haven't lost three in a row to the United States in forever. Where's your group at right now? You've kind of been in this position when you guys hadn't won the world since 2012, and then since those 2021 worlds, you guys have won everything, and you know the USA has been in that position, is in that position right now. How aware are you of the way the US is feeling right now, and how bad you know they want to beat you?
Yeah, I think anytime we go up against them, they're always great matchups, and I think that the biggest thing for us is looking at things internally and just seeing what adjustments we can continue to make. I mean, we've been the best in the world for the last 2 years, and that's something that's not taken lightly by us and not taken lightly by our opponents. So in that sense, we know that the U.S. is always getting better, the other countries are always getting better, and in that, we need to continue to push and upgrade where we can. So it's a lot of things that we can just focus on internally, execution, and just being hard to play against every time we go out against whoever it is.
We're chatting with Aaron Ambrose, Olympic gold medalist and PWHPA member who's taking part in the All-Star game this weekend. And you mentioned at the off the top, you're in the car now with Sarah Nurse and Renata Fast, a couple of teammates that are joining you up there. And I know when I go on long road trips, it's always a fight for the aux cord. Or I guess nowadays it's Bluetooth, but you know what I mean when it comes to that. I mean, who's in control of the music on this road trip, Aaron?
Unfortunately, Renata's in control of the music. It's her car, so we couldn't really fight her on that. Her phone connected automatically, but if we were in the dressing room, I would have the aux for sure.
So what's the go-to, like, carpool karaoke tune for you guys?
It's just kind of been on repeat, a little bit of shuffle, but I think for us, if I had control over it, Dermot Kennedy would be coming on, and that's a
nice.
That's something I need in order to connect to my field.
I love it.
Love it, love it. Well, we appreciate you taking the time, and good luck this weekend. Hopefully you have a blast.
Thank you, and thank you guys for covering it. Looking forward to it being on TSN this weekend.
Absolutely. There she goes. Aaron Ambrose, Olympic gold medalist, PWHPA member, taking part in the All-Star festivities this weekend up in Ottawa, which you will also be taking part in. You excited to go up there?
I'm stoked. I have to tell you, I'm a little nervous. I was going to mention it to Aaron, but I told you this earlier this week. I got an email. I have my beer league attendance is not very good. Like, I very rarely.
Do you even still play? Like,
I haven't been to a game. I have not been to a game yet this year. Sundays are just like so sit on the couch.
Sundays are for football.
Sundays are sit on the couchy. When you tell me to go to a beer league game at 10 o'clock on Sunday, I laugh. Like, it's just not
10
happening.
10 p.m. on
right?
a Sunday.
Thank
That's
you for having
terrible
my
terrible timing.
Thank you for having. If it was a Thursday, even a Friday, I don't do much on Fridays. I don't mind going out. Anyways, I got an email, and the email said, I know you're a rinkside reporter, but how would you feel about putting on your skates and being on the ice reporter? And obviously I said yes. So I'm going to throw on the wheels with a TSN mic, and hopefully I don't...
So you're getting on the ice.
Embarrass myself, yep.
Rink-level reporter.
Yeah, on-ice reporter.
That's going to be awesome.
Should be a good time.
So who are you excited to talk to? Who's the best interview right now in the game in women's hockey? Aaron was pretty good.
Aaron's really
Sarah's
good.
Sarah's always an
Sarah's
entertaining
a treat.
Interview.
You know, it's actually Taylor Heise from the U.S. team.
Ooh.
She was the top scorer at the World Championships summer, despite the USA getting the silver. And she's just... I don't know how to say it other than really super American. Like, she was not afraid to tell me. She said, we are not afraid of Canada. We are going to beat them. And it's so, there's so much, the girls are so good with, we respect our opponent. We know how good they are. We know how bad they want to beat us. But Taylor Heise's not afraid to say, we are going to beat them. We are the better team. And I liked that about her. It was good.
But you know what the thing is? Like, that's just like confidence, and that's breaking out of the hockey mold.
Yeah.
Like, traditional hockey players are so blah.
Yeah.
Like, we heard Tage Thompson last night. The guy scored five goals, and it sounded like the team lost 6-0.
Just smile, baby.
It's like, dude,
you're
you scored
okay.
five goals. Your team won 9-3, and you're out. We have the audio. Okay, why don't we play this audio? Because this just goes to show. I know it's on a bit of a different tangent.
No, it totally ties in.
But it's like, dude, smile.
Things are good.
You're a great player. You won the game. You set a new team record. Like, come on. This is what he sounded like after scoring five goals in one game in a 9-3 victory.
The great and the bad part about this is I think you have a night like this, but tomorrow's a new day. Mm-hmm. And you can't be satisfied with where you're at. Obviously, it's a great achievement, and you know, you want to be happy for yourself. But at the same time, like I said, there's more to do. We're not where we're at, where we want to be as a team. And it's my job to help us get there. And just got to continue to get better each day. And
like, dude.
What, are you going to get six tomorrow?
But, like, they won the game.
You could bask in a moment.
If you had just heard that, you would think they lost the game.
Yeah, you would think it was like an Austin Matthews first game, get four goals, lose to Ottawa.
Right.
Like, that's like, what it sounded like.
Like, typically, that's what it sounded like, because if you do have a great game and you break records and you have a great performance and you lose the game, you're a little bummed, because then it's like, well, you know, we got this, but we lost at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Dude, you won.
You won.
You won the game.
You won.
It's like, tomorrow's a new day. Like, bro,
it
celebrate
is.
It for 2 seconds.
You got to celebrate the little things, Tage Thompson.
You do.
And that's our philosophical lesson of the day.
I love the carpool karaoke talk show.
That was such a good question.
Well, it's something that we've talked about on the show a lot, because you do it yourself on your ride into.
Yeah.
You
sometimes
do the same
I become
song.
Aware of the people. It's not always the same song. On the way in, it usually is. On the way home, it's a different kind of vibe. But I don't know. I'm always singing in the car. I'm always either singing in the car or talking on the phone. And you know when you become aware of the person next to you and you're like, whoa, I was kind of into that one. I had my finger going.
my head is bopping 24/7 when I got when I hear music, I mean, when we come into a segment, like, my shoulders are moving, my head's bopping, like, it just is, music moves me, and it's the beauty of it, and that's why, you know, music is so popular, I guess. I don't know how else to say it, but...
We have to go to break now, because... Yeah. Right.
Let's go to break, and then we can come back and listen to some great jams that we can.
Don't you love music? It's the best.
It's the best. I want a throwback tune. Josh, get me a throwback tune, get it popping, get it going, and we'll come back, and we'll get into some of the stuff that's going on. The Maple Leafs taking on the Kings tonight right here on TSN 1050. I got a little stat pack about what's been happening over the last 12 games. We've got some updates in practice. David Alter going to join us also in about 20 or so minutes. So that's what we got coming up in the second hour of Leafs Lunch. I'm Mike Stefano with Julia Tesheri. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards available for purchase at Petro-Canada, the perfect gift for any occasion. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch. It's the Leafs, and what are you giggling about?
So, in between the break, y'all were clowning on me for talking about music and saying how it's popular and whatnot, and sure, you know, it's
whatever, it's deservedly what it is. Clowned.
It deservedly was. I got a text from a buddy, too, who even said, music is popular. What a take, bud.
You know, we're all about hot takes on this show.
But it's funny, because I said, all right, Josh, the rest of the way, we got to do throwback tunes for the rest of the show. Throwback Thursday, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to be like karaoke-ish type of throwback tunes. So stuff that you would go to the karaoke bar and you would go ham to it and the rest of the crowd is totally in love with it.
Right.
That's the task that I've put with the guys and gals behind the glass. And
was they that gotta give par? Us.
That was decent.
I wouldn't go really karaoke
that.
With
was
that.
Okay. That, I'll say that was okay.
It's definitely throwback dance.
Can we also, this is totally off topic, give some respect to the man, Akon. Okay. I was having this conversation with my mother the other day, funny enough. I don't know why, but I challenged her, and I said, I guarantee you, and this was probably a terrible take, but you and I will understand this, but I said, I guarantee you I know more Akon music than I do Billy Joel. And she's like, no, there's no way. I'm like, I know maybe one or two songs from Billy Joel. I think Akon is just as popular and has put out just as many hits as that guy.
Let's compare because you forced me down this road.
I mean, this may be like a bit of an off-air comparison type of thing.
I'm just going to slide
Akon's
through.
Akon's put out some bangers in his time.
See?
Some apps. Now, he's featured on a lot of stuff, and that counts. When you're featuring on stuff, that counts.
It's like so far, I looked up Akon hits, I'm scrolling through, and I looked up Billy Joel hits, and Billy Joel songs are a lot more familiar to me at first glance, so I hate that I don't have your back on
this
right
now. Well, you must be 43 years old then.
45 and counting. Leafs, Kings tonight at home. You can hear that game on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4. And there's a couple streaks on the line. Mitch Marner, whose name we haven't said yet today, which feels almost
odd,
blasphemous and weird. Finally, I said Mitch Marner today. I feel comfortable now. Going for 21 in a row. We'll see if he could do it. And a team point streak, too, AB, that, to be honest with you, I was kind of unaware of. But 12 games with a point in a row. The franchise record was set in 03-04, and it's 16. So we'll see if they can keep that record going tonight versus the LA Kings.
I'll say this, 03-04 was the last time the team won a playoff round.
Yeah, I was thinking that in my head. And
did I jinx it?
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's you just not stuff it? I like to say out loud.
What's super impressive about this streak that they're 12-0-3 is this streak started the night TJ Brody left the lineup. That the Boreas Salming game against the Canucks is when this streak started.
Right.
And they went on, they won that game, and then Morgan Rielly left the lineup. And then they were going to New Jersey to play the Devils. And they were on that heater. And everyone thought, including myself, there's no way Toronto's going to be able to handle that. There's just such a high event team. They were the best team in hockey at the time, and they had just lost Brody and Rielly. And at the time, they were not scoring at the rate that they are now. And I just thought to myself, there's no way they're going to win this game. They did win that game. Evidently, they won that game. That was the one where there was like three overturned goal calls and stuff was getting tossed out onto the ice.
Right, that was ridiculous.
And they've just been rattling off wins and getting to overtime, like 9-0-3 since then, without TJ Brody, without Morgan Riley for 11 of those games also. Just so impressive to me.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot about the way the forwards have bought in defensively, the way that everyone's bought in defensively. And I don't know, Kyle Dubas had a quote when Muzzin went down and when he went and addressed the media, he said something that alluded to, like, it's good that this happens at the beginning of the season because now we can see what we've got in everybody. Yeah. And I think that we've really seen that. Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, you never wish injury. You never want to see guys be injured. But in saying that, Liljegren and Sandin probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to progress and develop the way that they have over this stretch.
Yep.
Because they have taken some really big steps with these opportunities the way that they have. And now we kind of know what to expect from them a little later on in the season if they continue to go this way, right? So it's really impressive. And you hope that defensive buy-in from the forwards doesn't go away now that, and I'm sure it won't, now that they look back and they're like, thank God TJ's back, our babysitter's home.
That's the one thing, not that I'm worried about it, but like that's the question that I have is,
right,
will the urgency to get back and help those guys still be there when they know that the safety blanket in TJ Brody's back? I hope that's not the case, and I hope this is me just kind of overanalyzing and overthinking it, but it's like, is it not in the back of your mind as well?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's why I brought it up. Like, I have a hard time picturing them just defaulting back to that.
I think what we've seen is, like, this has now become routine. It's become part of the DNA. It's become part of the identity of this team.
Ooh.
Which we were pondering about a month ago.
We had no idea who they were because they were supposed to be, and still, to be honest with UAB, a little bit muddy because they are scoring quite a bit more now than they were at the beginning of the season. But
what they're doing is they're capitalizing on their chances and opportunities. It's right. Not that they're getting more offense, like they're getting more chances. They're just capitalizing more when they're being given those opportunities that is being sprung through their defensive play.
Yeah. Like four goals, three goals. Still not crazy offensive. Still not Vancouver Canucks numbers.
No, we're not seeing 9-8 hockey games.
Like,
out
let's
here.
Be real about
was it. 8-1 or 8-2, I think, even was the Edmonton game last night. Like, we had a lot of high scoring
yeah.
games.
Yeah. And to be honest, weren't we expecting more of that from the Leafs? Like, we were expecting them kind of to put up, I don't know why, when you get Austin Matthews scoring 61 year, you kind of expect the team to put up 4 or 5 goals every night, but it doesn't really look like that's going to be the case, and I don't know, maybe some of that...
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's okay, as long as they're locked in defensively.
As long as they're winning games. Like, I don't care if right. they score 5, 6, 7, 2 goals in a game, as yeah. long as they come away with the full 2 points, I think they're happy with that. Austin Matthews came out and talked about that earlier in the year when everybody was saying, hey, how come you're not scoring as much? He's like, look, guys, at the end of the day, like the Rocket Richard Trophy, that'd be cool to win. But if we're not winning hockey games, then that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I just want to win games and do what's best. If that means sacrificing a little bit of offense to make sure I get back on defense, so be it. If we win the game at the end of the day, I don't care if I don't have a goal on the score sheet. If I'm a +2 because I'm out there doing some good things and helping my team elevate and not allowing goals to hit the back of the net, I'm happy with that too.
Right. Yeah, I think it was just confusing at the beginning of the year when you bring up identity because you were looking at this team and thinking, okay, this team was, the plan with this team was to outscore all of their issues, and mm-hmm. now we're seeing issues and no scoring, but that is...
And they're getting great goaltending too. Since. Like a lot of yep. what we're seeing is excellent goaltending. Like I did a little bit of a breakdown last night. Somebody reached out to me and wanted to know if scoring or if shot attempts or shots on goal were up since the defenseman left the lineup. And they're actually relatively the same. The biggest difference over the course of this 12-game stretch is goaltending.
Yeah.
Like they were getting good goaltending before. It was a .924 team save percentage prior to TJ Brody leaving the lineup. But since then, they've gotten even better goaltending. .949 team save percentage at 5-on-5 since TJ Brody and Morgan Riley left the lineup.
That's crazy.
It's insane. They're getting outstanding goaltending right now, and they're finally putting pucks in the back of the net, too.
Yeah, and you just want to see it continue, specifically with the goaltending. Because, again, I brought up yesterday the stats that pointed to the fact that Jack Campbell and Matt Murray had pretty identical first nine games of the season.
Yeah.
So we'll see how Samsonov is tonight. Hopefully as a dandy.
I'll say this, though. One of my favorite goaltending stats that I like to look at, goals saved above expected. Matt Murray, I believe, sixth in the NHL in per 60 minutes. Samsonov, I think, is eighth or ninth or so. Two of the bottom five guys in the league, Jack Campbell, Peter Mrazek.
God bless.
Just saying. All right, let's get David Alter will join us in the next hour. We can get back into it and help tee up tonight's game, Leafs and Kings, right here on TSN 1050, also on TSN 4. I'm Mike DiStefano with Julia Tesheri. Hour 2 of Leafs Lunch, next.